Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the City of Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commission. Today is Thursday, September 18th. We have a quorum. All the commissioners are here except for Tom Coxwell. So we'd like to first observe a moment of silence. Okay, thank you. And from here we'll see, do we have any announcements or presentations? We do have some presentations. I've got a couple announcements. Anybody else have announcements? Why don't we start with you?
Okay, hello. I'd like to announce that the building of a pool is going to be on Measure D, which is going to be on the ballot in November. And what that means is that building a pool is part of the redesign and the updating of Morro Bay High School. So that's exciting news. And that's all I can say about it. Thank you.
Any other announcements?
I have a few announcements.
Okay.
I just wanted to add to Commissioner Crowley's statements about the pool. We're also having a tour around the high school on Saturday, 10 o'clock sharp. Everyone's invited, but you have to show up right on time. There's also going to be a tour around Morro Bay High School on October 4th, same time, 10 o'clock. And what they're going to do is basically show people all around campus and show what improvements need to be made. Principal Kyle Pruitt's going to be doing the tour. So I highly encourage anyone who's interested in learning about what's happening at Morro Bay High School and the infrastructure issues that are there to come to the tour.
Okay, thank you very much. Any more announcements?
I do.
Okay.
Yesterday I attended the Senior Citizens Monthly Board Meeting, and they are in badly need of volunteers. Anyone would be interested in working in the Senior Center, anyone would be interested in joining the seniors. They offer a lot of discounts for programs, plays, throughout the San Luis County. So anyone here that would be 55 years or older would be more than welcome to join. But you don't have to be 55 or younger or older to work as a volunteer. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more?
I do. I'd like to, for all you pickleballers out there, make the announcement that Morro Bay finally now has an outdoor pickleball court. It's going to be at the outdoor courts in Del Mar Park. And that's over on Ironwood Avenue, Mondays through Fridays during the daylight hours. You must have your own equipment. It's beginning in October. And play day is Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m., where nets, paddles, and balls will be provided. For more information, you contact the Recreation and Parks Department at 772-6278 or the Senior.
I went last year, and I believe it was at the Morro Shores Campground.
Yeah, I think it's the North Morro Bay State Park.
Yes, it's quite fascinating to see all those antiquated trailers that are still being used.
Right,
so
yes.
It's worthwhile attending.
It is. They're kind of neat. It's like we have all the cool cars that come to town. Okay, so we have, and that's it for the announcements, I believe. We do have some presentations. We have some certificates of appreciation. We have one for Morro Bay and Bloom for their recognition and their contribution to the Adopt the Park program, the Centennial Parkway. And we have one for the Morro Bay Yacht Club for their wonderful participation at Tidelands Park. So if we may all come down and present these and shake some hands. For your wonderful work at Tidelands, we'd like to present you the certificate of appreciation.
And I'll present it to our Commodore, Don Hunsinger.
Hi.
Thank you very much. Nice
you're welcome. You. Thank you very much for your participation in the program.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
This is one of our workers.
Yeah,
come by the door and shake your hand. So I want to.
We're going to go through here.
Yeah.
And then we'll give you some time with the
right.
After the
thank you very much. Thank you. So we'd like to present this.
Closer to
the microphone.
Okay, and so we'd like to present this certificate of appreciation to Moore, Bay, and Bloom for their wonderful work up on Centennial Parkway. Thank you very much for
your help.
Here's your certificate. Big crowd.
We're gonna take a little time to invite both groups up to share with the commission and the audience a little bit about their group and a little bit about what they do and why they do it and their participation in the Adopt a Park program. So the commissioners can take their seats and we're gonna invite up the Yacht Club. Is first up. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the award, and we appreciate the work that you do as well as in conjunction with what we do. We're very proud of Tidelands Park and the work that the city does in keeping it up along with our efforts. I'd like to just give you a little bit of background in my association with this effort. I was new to the Morro Bay Yacht Club board in 1993 when Gordon Cairns was the Commodore, and it was some kind of relationship between Gordon Cairns, our Commodore, and the Parks and Recs group, that they decided that they needed a little bit of waterfront participation, the organizations within the on the waterfront, to help the city with the maintenance of Tidelands Park. It was, it was a volunteer effort then. It's a volunteer effort now. We're as proud as we were then with what was initiated, as we are with what the relationship we have now. Just as a point of reference, Gordon Cairns, I don't know if anybody remembers him, but he has a memorial bench in Tidelands Park. So he had a lasting, beyond his life, relationship with that effort. So with that, thank you very much again, and we'll keep working. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Walter Heath. I'm a volunteer and president of Morro Bay and Bloom. And since we're the new kids on the block here, relatively speaking, I'd like to say a few words about our organization. Wreck and Parks came in and installed the main line of irrigation so that if and when we're out of the severe drought conditions, we can irrigate there at some point. But rather than leave that all bare, we came through and installed mulch on the hillside. So it at least provides a nice photo backdrop at this point. Our volunteers work every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. That's our model. It's 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. every Saturday morning, rain cancels. And it works out well for us. We send out an email or we post on our website where we're going to be, and we work with whomever shows up. It's a unique model that appealed to our mayor, and so he wanted to see it executed. Mayor Irons learned about this program from Arroyo Grande's mayor, Tony Ferrara, and asked that it be implemented here in Morro Bay. Our organization is affiliated with a national program called America in Bloom. We actually raise funds in order to participate. The registration fee is $1,000 annually to participate in the program. But what happens is two judges come every year to Morro Bay. We just had our first judging in July. And the judges look at six criteria. They look at floral displays, landscaped areas, urban forestry efforts, environmental efforts, heritage preservation, and the overall impression of the town. Now, that sounds like an awful lot, but much of this work is being done by other groups. And so what we do is we prepared a 20-page community profile. I should have brought one with me tonight because it's really beautiful. Our volunteers put together a 20-page community profile to offer the judges some background of what Morro Bay is like because they've never been here. And so they look at our community profile, and when they come to town, they evaluate us based on what we have told them that we are doing. And so they were here for 2 days. We feed them and lodge them while we're here. And I will be going back to a national symposium the first 4 days of October in Philadelphia to receive their report, which I am told is every bit as good as a consultant's report that the city would pay for. And it's going to indicate what we're doing well, where we can improve, and it'll offer us a template for our second year of work. So just to offer you some background on what we're doing in each of the six areas so that you know that we're holding up our end, we have four adopted areas where we work currently. And we're very cautious to take on new areas until we have the maintenance schedule down on the areas where we're currently working. And those four areas are Centennial Parkway, as I mentioned, the Morro Bay Library, the Chamber of Commerce, and we just took on the Visitor Center. And so we're going to be working to improve those areas, to rehabilitate them, and then to maintain them. So that's the floral displays in the landscaped areas. In the urban forestry area, we're always looking for opportunities to plant some trees. Fortunately, it was a group effort with the tree committee and the golf course superintendent, a Cal Poly professor who wants to improve monarch butterfly habitat at the state park, and the 50th anniversary of Cityhood Committee to plant 50 cypress trees. Many of us are unaware in Morro Bay that at one time we had 60,000 monarchs on the state park property, but it was one of the best kept secrets in the city because the previous superintendent didn't want people wandering around on the golf course. Well, we lost those monarchs when the pine trees that were forming a windbreak around the eucalyptus grove had to be cut down because of pine pitch canker. The current superintendent would like to see that windbreak restored, and given our historical tie to that property in 1925, it was a private golf club. It was probably the only reason why many people came to Morro Bay. That historic link is being rejoined, and a planting day has been scheduled on November 1st for everybody who wants to, all volunteer groups, to get out and plant those 50 cypress trees around the eucalyptus grove so that in roughly 10 years' time, we will have a sufficient windbreak that the monarchs will want to overwinter here. So that's the urban forestry. Our environmental efforts, very briefly, we've applied for a grant to construct and install a rainwater harvesting demonstration garden down at Centennial Parkway because it's an area that gets a lot of foot traffic. A lot of people walk by there on a daily basis. We want large numbers of people to see a rainwater harvesting system in action and not be intimidated by it, see that it's something that they could install at their own home. So we're hoping to do that sometime over the winter before the rainy season starts on the west coast of North America. We are going to have 30 pieces of art produced by artists at 30 exhibiting, sponsoring locations all throughout Morro Bay, all businesses for the most part. And folks will be able to come to Morro Bay, see the surfboard art, and the board art will be auctioned on November 29th. At the newly renovated Inn at Morro Bay. We're very excited about this. This is an event that's going to last the entire month of November, from November 1st through November 28th, and it will be It will be a memorable event and something that people will want to see from year to year. We have 30 wonderful artists. We have 15 artists who want to participate in 2015. So we can see this becoming an annual event for Morro Bay when we normally don't have anything scheduled, you know, on the calendar in the way of events like this. So it's a month-long exhibition, and it is the only event like it on the west coast of North America. That's kind of an overview of Morro Bay and Bloom and what we're up to. And we look forward to seeing you at the Surfboard Art Festival. Thanks.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, I guess we're at the public comment period. So anybody have any public comments for us? Please state your name and speak into the microphone.
My name is Betty Winholt, and I have three separate topics I'd like to mention briefly. One of them bounces off of what the speaker previous to me was just speaking to regarding the cypress trees at the state campground. And I understand that that has been routed through the tree committee, but I don't know if the Parks Commission has had any input into that or if you're aware of that, so I'm glad it was brought up. And my concern is in terms of the location of where those trees are going to go, and the reason I am expressing this concern is that Monarch site is on the uphill side of the campground of the golf course, and all those five streets that dead end in off of Ridgeway will dead end to the state park. And now that those people all have a view, if you plant large trees that will grow up and start to block their view, will that become an issue in the future? And I don't know that it is an issue. I'm just asking you to find out. Because cypress, as you know, can be very broad and very tall. And I don't like to see trees cut down. If you're already there, you buy a house, you know the tree's there. So, but here, you've got a place, and the trees aren't there, and they're going to grow up in your face. So that may create an issue in the future. So I'm just asking you to be aware that those trees aren't going to cause an issue in the future. I will express a little disappointment that I think all those trees are going to the golf course when I think some of them should have gone to absentee well holes in our city where we have trees missing right now. And I hope there's some plan to do something about replacing at least 28 trees I know of well holes that are empty in our city and that need to be filled. Briefly then, my second concern to you is about the parking lot in Del Mar Park, this on the south side. Since I was on city council, it's been a mess. It's continued to be a mess, you know, 4 to 6 years later. And so I'm asking you to find out when that's going to, or to agendize or do what you can to see that that parking lot gets fixed, because it's real prohibitive in terms of people coming there and enjoying the place. And then my third point is about the swimming pool that's, you know that in this election on the school board, there's a measure to ask for an increase for money for the two high schools. And one of those includes money of $60 million going to our high school. And I am unsure, and maybe Mr. Wood knows, but whether or not that absolutely includes money for the swimming pool. Because, you know, this community wants that swimming pool. I know you all want this swimming pool. And if that's included, I think we need to promote this measure to get that swimming pool. But if it's not necessarily included, then I'm not real excited about, you know, raising school fees. So if there's some way you can find that out as well, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comments. Pardon me? You can if you'd like. Yeah, we need to Okay. Are there any more public comments? No? Do you have some questions, Commissioner Crowley? Okay, we're closing public comments then. Thank you. Okay. Is there any questions anybody has? I know just one. I have one answer, and that's that the paving of the park is on the master plan for the street paving. That much I know. As far as the trees, that is the tree committee and the county. And
hopefully, if things go the way that we have planned, that parking lot and the pathway will be resurfaced in the near future. I'm hoping by the end of the year, at least before the next rain event.
That'd be great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. Consent calendar.
I'd like to make a motion to accept A1, 2, and 3 to file and pull A4.
Any seconds?
I'll make a second.
Thank you.
Aye.
Those in favor?
No, those in favor. Sorry. Those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, all in favor. Thank you. Sorry about that.
One through four. One through three.
Well, yeah, I think we should.
It's just been a while. If you can give us the super highlights that you feel the strongest about, that would be great.
I certainly can do that. Thank you, and good evening, Chair. Item A4 is the status report that's given to you at each one of your meetings. We try to highlight some of the programs and projects that are going on within our department and the city. A couple of noteworthy things on page one. Though I find all this very important, I will highlight just certain things on pages. This one on page one, save the date. And we're asking you to save the date. It's a meet and greet. It's our new city manager that's coming to town, David Buckingham. He will be here with his wife, Kendra, on September the 30th. It is in this very same building, and it is going to be from 4 until 6 p.m. There'll be some snacks to eat, little things to drink, and a lot of handshaking and meeting and greeting. So if you have some concerns, you want to meet the new city manager, this is a great opportunity for you to come out of the Vets Hall 4 to 6 on the 30th of September. David and his wife, Kendra, and many friendly, happy faces will be here. So come on down and meet the new city manager. We do have some item later in tonight's evening, tonight's agenda for the bike park, so I won't cover that. But we already talked about some of the seniors and the pickleball, and I'll go to the last page on the status report and highlight some of our activities and efforts at the Los Osos Middle School. We have a coordinator, a sports coordinator for just the middle school activities. Those sports would include girls and boys volleyball, tennis, cross country, and also track and field. It's going very well during this last sport. We have girls volleyball that's going on. Seventh and eighth grade teams. I have two competitive teams, one for each grade, about 12 or 11 players each. And then we also have four intramural teams. So there's quite a few girls that have come out to play volleyball. We got volunteer coaches. All the registration is online, so it is right in tune with your cost recovery program, and it's just a lot of fun. So a lot of participation. And remember, this is kind of a nexus between elementary and also high school sports. Middle school is obviously there for education, but the sports is what the middle school has dropped, and they've asked us to pick it up, and we've really our staff has come through. So be very proud of them on their efforts, as well as the cross country. And we have about 25 members coming into cross country. Not all of them have registered just yet, but they have opportunities to do that. And I want to highlight October the 8th, which is our first cross country meet that we'll be hosting. So October the 8th at Los Osos Middle School. It is a cross-country meet, and we're always looking for volunteers. So if you want to come out and volunteer for that cross-country meet, please come contact our office at 772-6278. And that concludes my report on the status. If there's anything I need to touch base on, please let me know. If not, I'd be looking for a motion to accept this report for file.
I did have one question that we didn't hit on. Could you give us a little information about the status with the street sweeping? It's in the maintenance division. looks like there's going to be some changes with the street sweeping.
Yes. Thanks for bringing that up. The street sweeping, we have some different regulations that have come through from the regional water quality, and the street sweeping is not going to be as frequent as it has been. It's a significant reduction.
Look at that. I think we just accepted.
Oh, I didn't see 5 and 6.
A4.
I apologize. I didn't see it. Sorry.
Ah. So, yes, let's review 5 and 6 before we file on them. Sorry. A little out of practice.
Thank you, ADP Video. I thought I hit my thumb, hit that. The A5 is a new report for the commission to review. This is a solar generation, energy generation from the Teen Center report. It's not in really the best layout that I would like, so we're going to probably be changing it for your next meeting. But you can see that there's three reports given to you, June, July, and August, and it highlights each week on how much power the solar array has generated. It breaks it down for each week and then gives you a total for the month. So we're averaging about one megawatt every month, which is quite a bit if you look at our usage. And what's not included in here is our true-up statement, which basically says exactly how much we've used each month and how much we've generated each month. And so after a 12-month period, we're looking at we're in the black $460. So basically, we're off the grid with our electricity at the Teen Center, exactly what we thought. And so now we're looking at our payback, which we've anticipated about 3 years and a few months, I think 2 or 3 months. So you can see that we are generating power out there. We had a presentation at City Council from Brian French in the Estero Bay Solar Solutions was here. He presented the things that he was doing out there at the Teen Center, the donations that we received, the type of an array that's out there. And the fact that this array is at the Teen Center at 220 Atascadero Road, and it's pretty close to the ocean, it's an example of saying, yes, you can do solar on a smaller scale residential, and you can still do it on the coast and still be worth your while. The payback isn't like this crazy. It's a small percentage of what we take for advantage of, like the 30 or 40 year mortgage. This is our payback is like 3 years, and it could be 5 or 6, depending on how much the equipment cost you. So on this report, it shows a carbon offset, as well as the tree you've offset the equivalency of trees as well. So in 1 month, it's 18 trees, 16 trees, and 17 trees on the months. But that's just it's. It's a comparison. It's something to kind of let you understand how much power and how much energy we're actually generating from the solar array. And the fact that we're generating it when it's closed, it's beneficial to us. So our true-up statement is we'll have a surplus of $400-some, and we'll go into the next 12-month cycle, and eventually they'll end up paying us, but they're reluctant at first to pay out any kind of dollars. So and that's just how it is nowadays with the type of meters we have. So the solar the solar generation at the Teen Center is working just like we thought it would, and we want to continue giving you these reports so you guys can keep an eye on it.
Yeah, that's excellent. Because also there was an offset of almost 4,500 pounds. A carbon offset of almost 4,500 pounds in 3 months, which is good. It's good for the environment. It's good for everyone. Thank you.
Motion to accept A5 to file.
Well, let's put 6 in with it, and we'll give a quick overview of the economic impact of the softball tournaments.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commission, A6 is is provided for you. It was a report that was done last summer, 2013. It's a net economic impact analysis of softball tournaments in Morro Bay. And basically, John D'Annunzio put this together. He sent out a letter. You'll see the letter in here. They went to Mayor Irons in May. I believe it was May 15th. And in this report, there was some hard data that was collected at the site. We generated a questionnaire, and we gave the questionnaire to managers of different teams that were coming to different tournaments, and they were to pass these out to their players and so forth. We would get those in return. We have also sponsored the Labor Day tournament, and we keep that tournament right at 22 teams. This year we had 21, and that's all at Lila Kaiser. And so not only are there permit fees and usage fees, which isn't a whole bunch, it's basically cost recovery, but the indirect economic impact from hotels and restaurants and stores would be significant, and those numbers are in your report.
Okay, thank you very much. It's good to know that being a destination city, we have all these wonderful things going on. Thank you.
I make a motion that we approve 5A5 and 5A6.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
They're accepted. Thank you. I guess we move on to public hearings. Do we have any public hearings today? I see none. Do we have any unfinished business?
We have C1, and what we haven't done is C1. Taken public comment for every item, and at city council level, we've done that. And seeing that there is one person in the audience who may have comments on this item, it might be prudent that our commission allow a public comment on this item prior to the event, prior to hearing this item from staff, and okay. Then we can move on.
Do we have some more public comment, please? Please state your name and speak into the microphone. Thank you.
Good evening, Commission. My name is Bonnie Johnson, Morro Bay resident, Morro Bay Bike Park Committee. Your item C1 tonight is the draft approval of the draft MOU for the next phase of the bike park. To give a quick status update, we are still in the planning phase of the bike park, getting all the plans and permits approved and submitted. Met with Joe Woods and the planning department last week to kind of hash out some details and what needs to be done. I sincerely hope to have these plans submitted and approved in the very near future. Still working on raising funds through sponsorship, and I do need to get started on another community fundraiser. I just wanted to kind of give everybody a break in their financial support on the project. But we are still raising funds, still moving forward. I would love to have this project finished by the end of this year. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's my own personal goal. So this evening's agenda item is to approve the next phase of the agreement with Morro Bay Bike Park Group and the city for the maintenance and operation of the bike park. And that's where we're at this point. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, okay, I guess we'll close public comment on that. Thank you. Okay, Joe, I'll turn it over to Joe on this.
Good evening, Commission. The staff report for this item is rather brief. It's a one-pager because the meat and potatoes is really the proposed draft MOU for the bike park. It's for the construction and the operation and the maintenance of the bike park. There are some details that I'm hoping that you have comments on this evening. Obviously, as I say, this is a draft of the MOU. This draft is also at the city attorney's office. Let me turn this off. My The city attorney is also looking at this draft, and his office will be making some comments, obviously, on this MOU. I'm hoping through tonight's meeting we have some edits, some amendments to this MOU. If not, that's fine. And then we'll bring the two together and package this up as another draft to go to City Council. And we are scheduled to go to City Council on October the 14th for a final draft. Hopefully, if they can adopt and approve an MOU for the bike park, that would mean that we would have an MOU for the construction, operation, and maintenance of the bike park. It does not provide permits. And so, as Ms. Johnson was saying earlier, that she'd like to get this wrapped up by the end of the year. That means we need permits, and that means that it needs to go to the Planning Commission for the permits. All those wheels are turning right now, and this is just one piece of the pie, of the puzzle, if you will, to continue the project along. So it isn't like one goes in front of the other. The Planning Commission will be looking at the MOU and come to fruition. You look in the background, we show some of the things that we've done already. We've looked at this bike park before. We have an MOU for permitting and processing. And so this is like was mentioned earlier, is this a step along the process to keep it going? So the MOU itself is attached. There are whereases and whereases and therefores. And I won't belabor the detail of getting into this with you from where I sit. I'm going to turn it back to the chair and open up a discussion on this MOU, and maybe we can get down to some nitty-gritty. That's what we're looking for. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Well, I think we're all for the bike park. You know, it's just a question, obviously, of the getting it permitted and then, you know, funding it for however long it's there so that it's good for everybody involved. Any other – y'all have any comments? Any thoughts?
I think the MOU looks really good. I don't see any issues that come to my mind.
Yeah, I agree that it looks good.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it seems fair. It seems like it's heading in the right direction. It does cover all the points as far as what the city needs and the procedures, I believe. And everybody's for a bike park. So
I just have one question. Is there going to be, you know, I've been familiar with bike parks. There's always somebody getting hurt out there. Is there going to be like a first aid person on hand at all times when it's open?
No. We haven't planned on that. This is we've had a BMX track in Morro Bay, and that was over in front of the old Flippo building. And it was pretty much bike at your own risk. And this particular bike park will be relatively the same. It will be fenced in, so it'll be so you'll be able to see where the boundaries are on our property, because we only have one lot within three or four or five different lots on that property. So it's really there's a little sliver that goes out to Little Morro Creek Road, and then it comes down, and then it opens up a little wider in the when it comes down to Main Street. So it'll be fenced in. A lot of the questions that the club is working through are grading and drainage. Those are some of the bigger issues, and parking and ADA access. And we have some feedback, some input from building that came in today regarding ADA compliance and so forth. So there are some nitty-gritties that we're getting to, but for the most part, it's like your skateboard park. It's skate at your own risk. We're going to require certain safety gears, like helmets and pads, but that hasn't yet to be determined here. And so if you have some input, say, hey, we really want to have people, they must wear their helmets. If there's policies or rules that are stricter than the state, then we would, then ours would take precedent. So there'll be a rule sign and a usage sign at the site. And there'll be three, I believe there's three different levels. So if you're a beginner biker, you could go there and expect to complete the course with some success and not get hurt. And then there's a medium and an advanced levels of the course that you can take. Isn't that right? That's what I thought. I got that right. So to answer your question, there will not be first aid on site because it is bike at your own risk.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
I would add one more comment. I was called earlier today. Part of this MOU says that we can close this down. Staff can close the park down for maintenance. And it really doesn't say what that means. Like, what kind of maintenance? When will we close it down? And how long will we close it down? And how severe does the maintenance have to be before we close it down? So it may come through to the city attorney's office, but it may come through this meeting and just may come through staff on the changes of that. Because really, on the other end, you don't want it to be ambiguous. You want it to be as detailed as you can get it with having some leeway in it. So we look at this maintenance closure. How will we close it? When will we close it? Are some of the details that we're going to try to outline in this agreement. And just like the skateboard park, when you're not supposed to be in there when it's closed, I get a lot of phone calls when people are where they're not supposed to be, and we dispatch the appropriate personnel to go and talk with them. So that's what we try to do, and that's what we'll continue to do when it comes to this bike park. Did you have some questions over here, please?
So in essence, the Morro Bay Bike Club is responsible for the maintenance, but if we feel they're not holding up their end or something, we can shut it down and do the maintenance and they have to reimburse us? Is that how it reads?
Yes. And they're basically asking us, when is that going to happen? And I would say, off the top of my head, rarely would we do that. But if we found that, hey, they're unattentive for whatever reason, and it may be something that's not even their fault, they're just unattentive, or something just happens, and it becomes unsafe for participants, then we would close it down. So maybe we put in some verbiage and we may close down for proper routine maintenance, inclement weather, and to deem it as a safety issue. Maybe we can identify
public
a safety issue. Yeah.
Well,
what's that?
Public safety.
Mm-hmm. So I think that maybe some little more drilling down into the safety issue and maybe how long and some of the parameters on where when we should expect them to respond. You know, hey, the safety issue is going to be big. You're going to respond within 24 hours. It's not so big. It's going to be 2 days. But everyone's in the same boat. We want to keep it open as much as possible.
Right.
So I think safety issues, if there is one, and we can't deal with it immediately, we would ask the group to help, or we would address it. But we would try to minimize our closure. And I think they're just looking for some little finer.
Is there an inspection schedule from your staff in the MOU?
Well, I believe that the inspection comes from the group. Okay. And there's a report that we have that they fill out and return to us.
Okay.
On a weekly, and they do it on a daily basis and a weekly, and turn it in on a monthly basis.
Okay.
Very, very similar to playground safety inspections.
Do you have a rough idea of when you could break ground on this?
I don't. It could get hung up in the permitting. It could breeze right through. We're hoping the latter's the case, and that it breezes right through, and then we could start. I believe they're fairly close on having the resources to break ground, and they were really wanting to break ground in October because some of the resources aren't going to stick around forever. So to get into this process is important, not only for the park, but the sponsors that are helping out with the park. Mm-hmm. So there are some questions still to be asked and answered, but they're a little bit on the side of this MOU. So this MOU goes through, but the permitting to get this park is a different animal. Mm. And I'm hoping that everyone is that it goes fairly smooth and we can get. So we've been meeting with planning and trying to flush out these questions, and they have a lot of questions, and there needs to be a lot of answers, and they aren't just really easy ones. But I think that we're going in the right direction. I think we're going in the right speed too for right now. The applicant always wants it faster.
Right. But we're basically talking about a fenced-in area with a motocross track in it. So if it's raining, the only thing is it's going to get torn up more. But, I mean, this rain shouldn't stop a motocross event.
Well, I think that when you're talking about rain and the type of a course that we're looking at, there may be some soil amendments that are applied that don't allow the rain to deteriorate the track as much as it would if it was just regular dirt.
Right.
So there are some of these soil amendments that are hopefully put in place, and through the permitting process we'll identify that and be able to add those in.
Okay. But I can only see if there was like a major flood or something, that area being closed for anything. I mean, it's pretty much up to the bicycle people when they want to be using that.
Well, I think as the site ages, we'll figure out what drainage problems and what conditions are going to be conditions, just like any site. So.
Well, we're hoping that we can address the any drainage situation, drainage concerns before we build it.
Right.
And that's the whole idea. But you're right. We're hoping that we get it right the first time, but we know how that goes.
Right.
But it's, I think, like we're amenable to adjustments, and I think it's also part of the plan.
Absolutely.
Huh. Is there anything, any water usage restrictions on this area or this facility?
Then I will probably have to come back to this advisory board if there's something that you say, hey, we really want this, and we took it out. But if that doesn't happen, and it is something very similar, and maybe just semantics that we're changing, then we'll push this thing forward. If there is a person from a commissioner from this commission that wants to bring this forward to council, I'd be looking for a name along with a motion. Thank you.
I'll bring it forward.
Pardon me?
I'll bring it forward.
Okay.
I've got two little BMXers at home.
Cool. Thank you. Okay. So we're looking for a motion to accept and file these things now? Is that where we're at? Or we're just good?
We'd be looking for a motion to any amendments and changes to the MOU, and then recommendations to forward the draft MOU to City Council for their review and approval.
Go ahead.
I don't have any amendments. I'm a little confused.
Oh, does anybody have any amendments? Or
I'll make a motion that we forward the staff report to the City Council to include any amendments made by the city attorney. For City Council to approve and move forward with it.
Okay, all in favor, I guess?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay, thank you. Put it on the phone. So, where are we at now? Do we got new business?
New business.
Okay, moving on to new business. We're going to look at the 2014 Brian Waterbury Memorial Rock to Pier Run and Rock Around the Pier. Do you have staff recommendations on that? Or?
Yes, I'd like to present this report to Commission this evening. This is a program evaluation, one of many that we give you throughout the year. But this one is covers the running of the 45th annual Brian Waterbury Rock to Pier Run and the third annual Rockin' Around the Pier Half Marathon. The medals are incredible. The participation is a lot of fun. This year, it was a little bit lower than usual, but we started a heck of a lot earlier. like about 6:30. It was an early, early start. Because of the tides, you have to get two Cayucas without getting too wet. But then the half marathoners have to come back on the beach. So we've got to make sure that's accessible. And there are some points that when the tide gets really high, they're really not accessible. So you'll see that we had, in the Rock to Pier Run, almost 900 participants do the Rock to Pier Run, which is a little bit lower than usual, like I said. But I think the time next year will bring them back. And we had, I'll tell you the overall winner, was Cameron Miller from Bakersfield. He had a time of 32 minutes and 6 seconds. Incredible. And the overall female winner was Annalis? Annalis? Is that how you say that?
I think so.
Her name? Annalis Walker from Clovis, and her time was 41 minutes and 20 seconds. And that's basically 6 miles, so that's moving out. Our Rockin' Around the Pier, third annual, very exciting to have a half marathon. And that's all on the beach. So what's kept our prices down is that we don't close any streets down. And then in your current magazine, you may read about San Clemente and the success that they've had in their foundation and the things they don't do anymore. And one of them is a 5 and 10K runs that close streets down. Because even though those runs are fun, they're very costly when it comes down to support services. So they're very minimal support services when it comes to beach runs. So that's why our run is unique and one of the cheaper half marathons you'll find in the county, in the country, I meant. But we had about 193 participants in the half marathon. When it first started, we limited it to 200. We had 201. She doesn't remember, but it was Commissioner Crowley who was the first 2000. and then we raised it to 250, and I think we're at 300 is our cap, but I don't think we're going to get there. But if we do, more power to us. We love it. Bring out the runners. Our overall winner, a male winner for this event, was Daniel Aguirre, and his time was 1 hour, 27 minutes, and 34 seconds. Which is very fast. An overall winner is Julie Hart, as opposed to the 6:30 that we had this year. So later start, 7:30. Again, it's in July, the 18th, and that's 2015. There are some cost analysis, and I probably should mention one sponsor. There's a lot of sponsors that are throughout this report. But one is a donation from the Kitsman Culligan Water. And they've provided water cups, dispensing units for any event that we've asked for as long as I've been here, and probably better than 25 years. And it started with R.B. Kitsman, and Rob Kitsman has been right there, and the Kitsman family has been a huge supporter of our department, and we really can't thank them enough. So our hats go off to the Culligan Water group, all the people that they have at the plant, and all the family. We want to say thank you. We do have some correspondence going out to you, but I wanted to make sure I mentioned the Culligan Water as being one of our long-time supporters of this run. We broke down the expenses for you, and our total expenses were about $36,500. Our revenues were about $37,500. We did compute some volunteer hours, and we had about 90 hours of volunteer work, and we computed that $2,255. So you can look at our total expenses, our total revenues. Indirect revenues are going to be volunteer hours. And you're going to see more and more of the volunteer hours and those support revenues as well as support expenses. I think they're very important to have. So you make a little bit more money. You're at about 108% as opposed to 100%. So that's another 5% when you add in your volunteers. which I think is significant because volunteers, I mean, hey, it's great to have them. When the event's over, you kind of forget about them. But realize they are a major factor in keeping the cost down and the cost recovery high. And that's big. We have some recommendations that we're going to go through there. If you don't see a recommendation that you'd like, now's the time to add it in. Or you can certainly email me or drop by and let me know what you think should change or remain the same when it comes to the Brian Waterbury Rock the Pier or the Rockin' Around the Pier. We have included in here some event logistics as well as some information on staffing and volunteers. I won't get into the details, and I will be happy to turn it back to the commission for any questions at this time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Woods.
I have a question. Have you received any feedback about for the half marathoners about the loop that takes you off the beach and through Cloisters on that bike path?
A little bit. A lot of the runners I've gotten back to us this last year really enjoyed that loop. They really enjoyed the heavy sand, the challenge that that presents. And I know where Commissioner Crowley's going. She doesn't like the heavy sand. But we had the first year we had probably less, about five-ish, I would say. I'm off the top of my head. I'm thinking about a couple years ago how many concerns we had. A lot less concerns this last year. The third year running, people kind of know it's coming. So we aren't looking to change the course.
Okay.
Only because it is extremely difficult to get 13.1 miles on that beach. It's almost just not there. And so we had to loop somewhere. And like I said earlier, we don't want to close any streets down because that's going to cost us some more money and it's going to jack up the price for the entrance. And we want to keep it as low as possible. Keeping the price low, keeping the swag bag filled with a lot of goodies is important for a successful race. And quite frankly, we've got a really good goodie bag going out to all the runners.
Okay.
But as far as the hard sand goes, I haven't had any negative feedback this third year. Thank you.
Okay. Good to know.
Even for bands on the run, we have to make a loop. But we loop through the high school cross-country course and tree tunnel. But you can't get a half marathon without a loop somewhere.
Thank you.
Okay.
If there aren't any more questions or concerns regarding this report, I'd be happy to accept a motion to accept this report.
Live that spot. It's especially when it sells out on a Saturday. You couldn't get in there.
I agree. That would allow for more vendors and less lines.
Yeah, yeah. It's just it's a great thing. It's a great time of year for something like that. I don't know where the other location would be at. I don't have any ideas, but if we could be proactive to maybe take a look at that, if we can make that some new business or future agenda, that would be great.
I appreciate your comments, Commissioner Bates. I'm not sure if I'm understanding what the future agenda item is. We have issued permits for public area use for various festivals. And I just met with the Morro Bay Triathlon today. So it's a wide range of festivals. When one festival comes to me, in this particular Avocado Margarita Festival, and they want to use 714 Embarcadero in that parking lot, and they may or may not have outgrown it, I have two choices. Either I can accept that permit and process it, or I can deny it. And gotcha. The denial will come to you in the form of an appeal. That's how it's set up. Now, if I accept this, then they're going to be there. And if it's overcrowded, there's several issues that we are concerned about. Safety is number one for the participants. And number two, it should be the group who's putting it on, the festival saying, hey, we've outgrown this site. And we've seen that with various other groups, like the Beer Festival. And they've moved over to Tylands Park. And you see some other events going to Tylands Park as opposed to being at 714. Now, whether 714 continues to be a venue for this event is yet to be seen. They're very familiar with it. It works well for them, but they may have outgrown it. Is Tylands Park the next venue, or is the parking lot at the power plant the next venue, or is the Rock the next venue? So, you know, we're always looking at different venues when we meet with different groups, like the Harbor Festival. They came in, they've changed their venue around probably every year they look at it. Do we go to the west side? We say on the west side of the Embarcadero, or do we go on the east side? So some years you see it on both sides, some years it's on one side, and it really has to do with the what's at the program, the flow of people, and the parking, and there's a lot of different issues. So police, fire, harbor all get involved, as well as public services and all my department, Parks and Recreation, to see how does the event affect the community, how is it going to play a part in that venue, and all the other conditions that go along with it. And for the most part, I would say it's basically around safety and success for the event. So we don't try to hinder anybody. We just try to give them conditions for safety. So if you're saying...
Well, I'm not, I hope it wasn't misunderstood. I don't plan on taking the address of the event away from them.
Okay.
I don't plan, you know, I don't have any intentions of that. I just would hope that we would be proactive if they came to us that we have at other spots and other logistics so that it doesn't get held up. And cause it's been a lot of work for them to create that event, and it's kind of at a peak right now. And I was down there myself, and I saw it, and it was packed, and everybody's having a great time. And I'd like to see that continue. I think it's a great time of year for that. I think that it's a well-received festival. It does represent things here locally, as far as avocados are concerned. And I was just trying to be proactive somehow, just so we could maybe just dialogue or have considerations for other sites that would be acceptable if that was to come to us by them.
Okay. And I believe we do now.
Okay.
We have allowed them. And so when it first started, it was just in the parking lot. But since then, it's grown to, I think it's part of like half the street.
I think it's half the street.
Half the Embarcadero we closed down.
Yeah.
And we don't take that closure lightly. And we have the transportation, public transportation is involved in our meeting to make sure the trolley can get through there. Police and fire at that meeting. I mean, we just don't close down a street willy-nilly.
How far did it go north? Did it go all the way to the park?
North, it closed down Front Street, south of Front Street, which basically is that kind of a Lazy J comes into Centennial Parkway, but it goes over to, I believe, Harbor Street. And that was that parking lot was used for vendor parking and handicap parking and access and so forth. But as far as the venue for this program, 714 Embarcadero, and part of the street in the Embarcadero, and then north it went up in the parking lot on Front Street. But it stopped at Harbor. So there's some of your concerns.
I think we've had a pretty good discussion about it, and we can just wait for the group to address us with any concerns.
Okay. We can do that.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. So that's it. No future agenda items? What do we got?
It's not a future agenda. I just want to bring back something I brought last time, and I haven't heard any follow-up on it. What brought to my mind is I was in the Del Mar the other day, and there's a dog running wild and chased my kid, scared. She's only 17 months old, my granddaughter. So she's scared. So we had to leave the park because this dog was running loose in the play area. So do we have signs or something we put out there saying no dogs are allowed in the play area?
Well, the dog park.
Yeah, you're at
Del Mar has the dog park there. This is where the kids play.
Yeah, there's no place in the city that allows dogs off a leash except for the off-leash dog park.
I've
seen the same thing, and there's a lot of people who do use our public facilities and public parks and take their dogs off a leash. I would hope that we would have advocates from the RPC at least make a phone call and let me know that we can send someone else out there. We don't have signs in each play area, but there are signs at each park. And there's additional signs where we've had problems with dogs must be unleashed, you must pick up after your dog. There's at Del Mar, we're looking to do some kind of a kiosk so we can consolidate our signs. Because I believe, and this is my opinion, as there is such thing as sign pollution. And there's a lot of signs out there. And there's so many signs, people don't want to read the signs. Yes. So I think that if we make them simple and easy to read, I have a hard time putting them everywhere. They are posted. And it puts individuals in the community at an awkward situation. Some people will say something to others, and mostly because they have a duty to do that. The Morro Bay pups do that at Del Mar when their docents are on site. When they're not, I know when I've gone out there, just a simple day, I can get 3 or 4 people, and they have leashes in their hand, but they just don't leash your dog, and they're in the play area as well. So I understand there's frustration. Education is the best practice, I think, to get the word out to people, hey, there is a leash law, leash them up. And quite frankly, you're going to see more of staff out there with verbal warnings and citation books if it doesn't get any better.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I got something to add to that. I think that when you get in that situation, you just have to be assertive and just say, hey, look, I have a child here, control the dog. You shouldn't have to. It should be common sense. But myself, I have a daughter about the same age, and if I don't take the dog with me, my dog finds a way to get over a 6-foot fence or scream and yelp until the neighbor calls me. So there are other conditions that why the dogs are there. Quite honestly, I'd love to leave the dog home alone and just be with my daughter, but I have to bring the dog. So, but I never have my dog running around a playground without a leash.
Bring your dog,
right.
Just
yeah.
Keep it on a leash.
Yeah. We have laws. They need to have laws for their dog, and they need to obey those
laws.
So
just tell those folks, you know.
Right. The public has a right to.
You have the right to tell. You have the right to tell anybody to
safety and health, really.
Right. Just be nice about it, and if there's an issue, then call the Parks and Recs or call the police.
Call the police.
Yeah.
They'd be glad to come over and settle that dispute.
Be a responsible dog owner, please. Any animals. Be responsible to all your animals. Conserve water. Happy birthday, Morro Bay. Go on the website. Check out all the stuff that's happening. Participate. Volunteer. Be part of this community. It's a wonderful place to live because we all live here, including you. Okay, I think I'm going to adjourn this meeting. I think we're done.
Nice. Great.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good one, Drew.
Thank you.
Yes.
My dog, my God, it's just like
I know.
Someone's like got her in an Iron Maiden or twit, you know.
Yeah, I've got a new cat called Not My Cat. He just comes over and demands I feed him, and he won't stop bugging me till I do.
It's also important just to let people know, hey, we got a dog park, you know, instead of
yeah.
You don't want to be combative.
Throw your weight around, Tom. I'm a commissioner.